10, the title for this message probably says it in your Bible as well. Children's Church, Release the Hounds. I was ready to go, Al. I'm sorry, brother. Release the sheep. Release the sheep, right? What's up, big man? All right, John chapter 10. If you'll stand, I will read a verse from this passage, and we'll get started. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Let's pray. Father, I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts, my heart, everyone here's heart to your word. And we'll hear your word. We'll allow your spirit to speak to our heart, and then we'll live for you, live lives honoring to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So sheep need a shepherd is basically the title of this message, and that was so evident yesterday when we went snow tubing. So we get there as a group, and we're standing in line, and we come to find out that we missed the time slot that we were planning on going to. And so we were like, oh, no, what do we do? We're going to be standing here forever. And as you saw one of those pictures, all the kids had this great idea. Well, let's just lay down on the road, right? And so not on the road. They were in safe. I promise they were safe. Actually, all of the adults were lined up to where cars were coming by, you know, slowly in a parking lot. And all the kids were laying right here. And so we had that guard, right? That wall of, yeah. And so, but we decided that we're going to send the kids on up the way up to one of the shops and eat something there just to kind of get them in one location. And we were going to stand in line, some of us, for the tickets. And so Chris was our savior. Brian, they were our shepherds. And a couple more adults were just leading our kids. And I was like, man, it's like herding sheep. Well, I mean, herding cats, really, right? But then it got to thinking, I was like, man, I'm preaching on this tomorrow. Why not? Because you should have seen them kids. Yeah, you know. You know, you got some little sheep that love to listen, some little sheep that not so much wants to listen, right? They want to go their own little way, right? And so they're prone to wander. And it's funny that I'm just sitting here thinking about this passage and been studying through it, been going through it, and these things coming. Well, as I was studying, I was reading this article. And it fascinates me. And what I'm about to share with you, this really did happen. So in 2005, in Turkey, the country Turkey, hundreds of sheep followed their leader off of a cliff in eastern Turkey to their death. And what's amazing about that, there's 1,500 total sheep in this flock of different families that own them. And basically the shepherds had gone away and they were just kind of leaving them on their own so that they could eat breakfast. Well, 1,500 actually went off the cliff, but 400 died, and the 1,100 remaining, actually the 400 that died, you know, kind of cushioned their fall. That's fascinating. 1,500 sheep went off of a cliff because they were following the lead sheep. Isn't that something? Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Why? Because you know this, we know this, we've seen this. Sheep are not very smart. In fact, you would have thought one of those sheep would have spoke up and said, this is a bad idea, right? Come on, I've been waiting. I told Sherry that. I was like, I'm going to use that. And she just kind of, Sherry just rolled her eyes at me, right? You know? And you know, but they're not very smart. They need direction. They need a shepherd. And they're not very scary either. You know, it's like, it blows my mind, but you think about this, you know, when you're having a hard time sleeping, what do people tell you to count? Sheep. They don't tell you to count lions and tigers and bears. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. You know, they don't tell you to count those things, right? They don't tell you to count snakes, right? And some of y'all are like, amen, they better not, right? Because y'all don't like snakes. But because sheep don't, they're not scary. Right, they're on their own. They're defenseless. They can't defend themselves. They're prone to wander. And isn't it funny? Maybe not funny for you, but isn't it ironic that the Bible describes us as Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that fascinating? That explains our life so clear. That without a shepherd, we go our own way. Without a shepherd, we are defenseless. That we wander off. It is so fascinating that when the Bible uses imagery, the Bible uses illustrations to explain our relationship or our lives and our relationship with God, it uses these illustrations. And one of the most ones that are used is the shepherd and the sheep. Because when Jesus was even teaching this, he knew that his listeners would just zone in and they would hear it and they were like, oh, this clicks, right? Sheep need a shepherd. And as we work through John 10, he uses this illustration. And so if you're in the Gospel of John chapter 10, just want to give you a little background and context. The theme verse or the purpose statement for John is chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. I think they're going to bring 31 up here. And here's what he says. John says, I've written these things, right? These things I've written so that you may believe that Jesus, right? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you would have what? Because it's right there, right? You'll have eternal life, right? So when you open up the Gospel of John, everything that you read will funnel through this verse, right? So that means that when we look at this passage, when we dive into this passage, it's going to tell us why we need to trust in Jesus, why we need to do that. And I know there's some of you in here within the group size that we have, whether on the balcony down here, wherever you're at. I realize this, that there's some of you in here that you've not placed your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's not your shepherd. He's not your Lord. I realize that, but I want to challenge you. I do want to challenge you to put down your smart devices, unless you're reading along in the Bible with us, with this. I want to challenge you to put that down and listen. Just give me a couple of moments just to listen, because it'll change your life. If Jesus is your shepherd, it'll change your life. I promise you. I promise you. That's a guarantee, right? I promise you. And so we're in chapter 10. Chapter 9 comes before chapter 10. Here's what's going on in chapter 9 to give us a little bit of what's going on here. Jesus has just healed a blind man, a man that was blind from birth. Never been done before in history, okay? A man has been blind from birth. Jesus comes up to him and heals him. He spits, he hawks a loogie, right? He mixes it with some dirt, puts it on the guy's eyes, and he says, you go wash in a pool. You go wash in this water over here, and you can see. The man trusts him, goes to do what Jesus says, and the man can see. What a great thing, right? Like, you know, there's some of you, you struggle with your vision, right? You struggle with your eyes. I'm there with you, right? And what an amazing thing for us to be free or to be healed, right? To where we can see clear. But there was a group that didn't like that. There was a group called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't like this. They were the religious group of the time. They were the ones that kind of called the shots when it came to religion. They put on these burdens. They put on these rituals. And they said, if you love God, then you're going to do this. Or in order to earn God's love, you have to do this. I'm just using the Lee Ivey version for it. I realize we can go into a lot more time from that. But that's what's going on. And so when Jesus heals this guy, he actually heals him on the Sabbath day, which is the day of rest, the day of worship. And they did not like that. Because here's the thing, they missed the point of what the Sabbath was all about. The Sabbath was created. God gave the Sabbath day for us to rest in him and to rest from everything and to just think about him and to thank him for what he's done, right? And so what they did is they butchered it. They butchered that. And they said, you can't do anything. You can't even walk but so far. And so if you were out in the field and you walked as many steps as you had to stand there. How do you like that? Right? And so Jesus says, that's not what it's all about. And so he heals this man. He says, wasn't this a good thing that he was healed? And they said, yes. But. So they missed the point. And he says, you guys are more blind than this man has ever been. Because you missed what God truly desires. He desires for people to love him, for people to come underneath him, because he is the true shepherd, and he
he desires for his sheep to come under him. He says, you guys missed that point. And then we pick up into chapter 10, verse 1. And here's the main idea I want you to get. Jesus is the good shepherd that cares for God's people. Jesus is the good shepherd. All throughout this imagery that he's going to get, he's talking about himself, right? And so we're going to draw some truths from this, and I want you to grab a hold of that. And my prayer is that we will all allow this to affect the way that we live our lives for the Lord. So the first thing I want you to see is Jesus is the shepherd that gathers his sheep. Look at verse 1. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief, and he's a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, this imagery, these listeners would grab a hold of that, because sheep herding was a common thing in this day, okay? And so they would understand that when he talks about a sheepfold, when he talks about a shepherd, when he talks about a sheep, they're grabbing a hold of this. Now, just in case you don't know what he's talking about, a sheepfold is basically when it starts to get dark, when it starts to become nighttime, right? The shepherds would bring all their flock, and it could be a place where many families worth of sheep would come in. And they would gather all the sheep into this enclosure. There was one way in and one way out, okay? And so what would happen is once they got all of them in there, most of the time, the families, they would hire somebody called a watchman or a gatekeeper, right? They would hire somebody to come in there, and he would watch it, right? He would, over the night, he would guard that door. And he would only let the shepherds in that owned the flocks, okay? Nobody else could get in. If anybody else went in any other way, this is what Jesus is saying, then they were a thief or a robber. They were there to steal, to kill, or destroy the sheep, okay? And so what Jesus is getting at here, when he uses this terminology, when he uses this illustration, he's talking about the Pharisees, right? He says, guys, you've missed the boat. You're trying to get into the flock by other ways. You need to get in through this way. I'm the one that can get in there because I'm the one that this is all about, okay? Because they miss it. They made a relationship with God into a bunch of rituals. Now you think about this, folks. How many times have we been told, well, if you're good, God will love you? And maybe not directly like that, but we're taught that. You know, we call this the Santa Claus mentality, right? Right? We treat God that way. If you're good, you'll get some for Christmas. Right? If you're bad, you're going to get what? There it is, right? Now, I know despite what you think, I never got cold. All right? I know that surprises you, but still. But we treat God like that. We make God out to be some Santa Claus. But he's not that way. He loves us even though we are bad. He loves us. What does Romans 5:8 says? While we were sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us so much that Christ died for us. Right? And so we're taught things, and what we need to do is, and this is just a little, this is off, whatever. Can't even think right now. My mind, David, I feel you, bro. You know, we know what that's all about. My mind's going like, my mouth can barely keep up. We make it about what we do. We make it about performance with us in order to earn God's love. Now, God loves you. Even if you're like, he loves you whether you're rebelling or you're one of his children. He loves you. That's why he sent Jesus. And here you have the great shepherd is right here, the good shepherd. And so they're familiar with this. Look at what verse 2 says. It says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It was fascinating. You know, near these shepherds that he's talking about, they've been known to stand at different spots outside of this gathering place or this enclosure, and they sound out their particular calls. I don't know. I bet we could have some fun with the calls. Yip, 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 right? I don't know what kind of calls, but here's the thing is the sheep that know their shepherd, they know what that call is, and they come to their shepherd. because they know his voice. They follow him. Are you listening to Jesus' voice? You know, think about that. Think about that. Are we listening to the Good Shepherd's voice? This is awesome. He calls them by name. What does that teach us about this Good Shepherd? He's personal. He knows you by name. You're not just another number. Isn't that good? You know what I'm saying? Like, because every single one of us have a number, don't we? You know, and we're assigned a number when we're born. But he knows you personally. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. That's fascinating if you think about that. Your shepherd, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, knows you. Now, I realize some. Well, I hope he doesn't know everything. He does, and he still loves you. That's what the beauty of it. That's what's so great about Jesus. That's why he's so good. It's because he loves us even though we're bad. It was Romans 5, right before 5:8 says. He says that we would die. You know, most of us would die for somebody we love. And every once in a while, you'll get somebody that die for somebody they don't really know, but there's a good person. They think it's a good thing to do. He said, but Christ died for sinners. That while they were thumbing up at him, while they were shooting him, whatever, while they were cussing at him, while they were hating God, he still sent Jesus to die for us. That's fascinating. Blows my mind. I don't understand it, guys. I know me. I know this sheep. I know this sheep. I know how dirty I am. I know how defenseless I am. I know how dumb I am. No amens, right? You know, Donnie, I know you were, man, you were, he was stirring it up, right? Didn't you say you had laryngitis anyway? Yeah. There's a reason. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, brother. Look at what it says in verse 4. When he has brought them out of it, out all on his own, he goes before them, the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. A stranger they will follow, but they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is a cool little word picture here, just because Jesus is not behind him ushering or pushing, he's leading. And that's what he says, and he's going to lead you. If you're a follower of Christ, then you're following Christ. That means when Jesus says to do something, and when he says to not do something, if you are following Jesus, you're going to be a follower. Like, there's no halfway, guys. There's no halfway. Well, you know what? I think I'll follow Jesus on Sundays. I'm going to follow him to church. No, it doesn't work that way. It's a relationship. And this is where, when we make it into a honey-do list, we're missing the point. Why do I do things for my wife? Because she'll whoop my tail if I don't? No. I love her. Right? Y'all get this, right? Y'all get this? You understand what I'm saying? So I do things for Jesus because I love him and I appreciate what he's done for me. He died for me. Right? Verse 6, this is a figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand. And so now he's about to make it clear. Jesus, here's number 2. Jesus is the shepherd that guards his sheep. He's going to further explain what he's talking about. Look, he goes even deeper, and there's something going on here that just blew my mind at the end of the week. Verse 7, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came in before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Isn't that fascinating? And so what seems to be going on here is that the shepherd steps in and he's the door, the human door to the enclosure. You can only go in through him. You think about it, not only thieves, but you've got lions, you've got all kinds of ferocious animals that want to do what to sheep? Comb their hair? They want to eat them, right? And so the shepherd is there to protect them, to guard them, and, you know, to take care of them. This is what Jesus is showing us here. What is he guarding from? When he uses this teaching, he says, look, I'm going to guard you from those that are trying to pull you away from me. And eventually, he's really talking about the head evil one, right? The devil. We're going to see that. But he's talking about false teaching as well. This is why we say, look, know your word. If you're not spending time in God's word, how do you know when what you're hearing is the truth? If you're not even following along with me in the scripture, how do you know I'm telling you something right? Well, we know you, Lee. No, you don't. We can easily say that. But my goodness, I could say something false up here and you would never know unless you're following along with the scripture. Truth. Right there. And I challenge you to spend time with God in his word each day. Even if it's just 5 minutes, spend 5 minutes with the Lord in his word. If you don't understand what you're reading, ask somebody. The greatest way to find out the answer is to ask. Ask questions. It's okay, because guess what? I don't understand everything in the word. This is why we ask questions. He says, I am the door. I'm the gateway to your safety, the gateway to your salvation, and I'm the guard over your soul. You think about that. He says, when you come in, you're saved. And what is he pointing to? He's talking about salvation there, a relationship with God. That's what he's talking about. He says, I'm the one. I'm the way that you get through there. And it echoes. This echoes John 14, 6, right? When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, right? It echoes that. So Jesus is making a point. You have to come through me. Over my dead body are you going to get my sheep? And Jesus showed that, didn't he? One of my favorite verses is John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come so they may have life and life abundantly. And not only is Jesus guarding and protecting them and keeping them from dying, but he's given them a life, a true life, right? Because the sheep are not supposed to stay in the pen. They're going to go out to the countryside, and they need to know what true life is. He said, this is what you were created for. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you and I. It's like, live in him. He died to save us, but he also lived so that we could live. That true life, that life of joy, that life of peace, that life of satisfaction and meaning in your life. And some of you don't have that. You know what I'm talking about. We can put a facade on for so long. We can rely on the things of this world. And they'll give us temporary happiness, that little satisfaction or pleasure. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the night, when we're there by ourselves, we're there in the dark, we know there's something just not clicking, that's not filling the void that is in our heart. And this is what Jesus is saying about himself. He says, I am that. I am what you need. I am your shepherd. You are my sheep. Just trust the shepherd, is what he's saying. Look at verse 11. Jesus is not only the good shepherd that guards his sheep, but he's also, look at what it says. Jesus is the good shepherd that gives his life for his sheep. Five times in four verses, it says that he lays his life down for his sheep. Do you think he's trying to make a point here? Repetition is the key to understanding what the point is. When you see something repeated in Scripture, you hold on to that. Verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd, and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep. He sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Those hired hand, they didn't have anything, no kind of investment in the sheep. They were just getting paid to watch them. And so when danger comes, they flee, right? And this is what he's talking about the Pharisees here. He's saying, look, when danger's, they're just using you guys. They're just using you. They're trying to just get the wool off of you. They want to use you for their own means. Jesus says, I'm the one that said that. I'm the one that's going to lay down my life for you. I lay down my life. It's fascinating with this word for. It's always got, when it says he lays down his life for the sheep, and each time it says that, the word in the Gospel of John, when it's used in the Gospel of John, okay, it's used for a sacrificial intent. So it's talking about a sacrifice. So he says, I lay my, and so here's the meanings for. It means on behalf of or instead of. And so when Jesus says he lays his life down for you, it means that he lays his life down on behalf of you or instead of you doing that. Instead of you dying, he died. Now you think about that when you look at the grand narrative, what's going on in the Bible, what's going on with what God is saying. He says, look, Christ took your place. You deserve to die because of your sin. Ladies and gentlemen, look, I wish you guys would stick with me here because this is big. This is big. Jesus died for you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. We're wretched people. At our very core, we have wicked hearts that only think about ourselves. Now, some of you may argue with me on that, but that would just prove the point. Because you're just trying to self-preserve and self-protect because you don't like what that says. But at our very core, we are wicked people. Look, if you don't believe that we're born in sin, you need to hang out with the children's ministry. I'm serious. Oh, my goodness. You come to the Wilder House, and it ain't just because they're Wilders. I love my kids. I would die for them. But those of you who are parents, you know exactly the challenge it takes to raise children. Because you got these sinful little hearts that are all about themselves. I am not going to name this person that lives in my house. But there's a little joker. How can I word this? There's a little joker in my house. He thinks everything is his. I'm serious. Grayson's like, it ain't me. It ain't me. I promise you, my little man's over here. Like, oh, man, you just narrowed down the playing field right there, my man. Oh, but let me just correct him. We are all like that. It's funny that we are all like that. And this is how you know it, is when something goes against you. Oh, you get flared up. When somebody offends you, man, you flare up. You look like one of them big old peacocks, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, no, they're about to throw down or something, you know? Because we're all self-absorbed. We are. We self-protect ourselves. And this is what Jesus wants to free us from. He said, you were created to have a relationship with God. You were created to be guided and guarded, and you were given life from your Creator. But because of our sinful hearts, we want to go the opposite way. He says, you're that sheep gone astray. And guess what? Jesus, just like he uses the parable of the 99 and that lost one, guess what? He went looking for us. He went looking for you. I could name every single one of you in this building right now, and everyone in the world, he went looking for you. Everybody else abandons us. He came looking for you. Oh, that's so good. That might mean I've got another 45 minutes. Just kidding, all right? Check out what Jesus says about himself, though. Look at verse 14, and I'll go quickly here. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my life on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. You hear what he's saying there? He says, I have the authority to not only to lay down my life for everyone, but I have the authority to also the power and the authority to pick my life back up, to raise again. Do you hear what he's saying? Like every single one of us, we could say, I have the authority to take my life, to lay down my life. Like I could say, I'm gonna take one of those long ladders that we have, or we're going to get one. I can get on top of this building, and I can say, I have the authority to jump off of this building and take my life. But he says, not only that, but I have the authority to raise my life back up. We can't say that. If I was to say that same thing, y'all look at me like I'm an idiot. I realize y'all already look at me that way, but look, here's the thing. Y'all would look at me like I'm crazy. That doesn't sound right. You know that if I was to die right now, I could not raise myself back up to life. Right? Y'all know that, right? So what is Jesus doing here? Oh, man, he's separating himself from anybody. Any religion, right? Any belief system, he's separating himself. This is what he's doing right here. So here's the thing. Here's a decision. And I want you to see the same thing happens here, all right? There was, verse 19, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and he's insane. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you have a decision. Everything with Jesus comes to a decision, comes with a choice. Choice is what, right? What is it? What is it, Abby? Come on, girl. Say it. You got it. Yeah, choices have consequences, right? You have the freedom to make choices in your life, but you don't have the freedom to pick the consequence that comes with that choice. Life is about choices, and choices have consequences. Jesus always brings us to this point where we choose him. And what do we believe about him? So every single one of you in here with the sound of my voice, here's the thing. You either believe this. You either believe Jesus is crazy, or you believe he's the Christ. You either believe he's a lunatic, or you believe he's the Lord. And how you live your life will determine what you believe. Because here's the thing. I could tell you I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? All you want. I can do it. But until you see the change, the transformation in my life, those words don't mean anything. Because I do believe this. I believe there's a lot of people that we claim Jesus with our mouth, but we never live him out with our lives. And that's why our community looks at us as a gathering and they say there's a bunch of hypocrites in there. That's why. It's because we deny, we say Jesus with our mouth, but we deny him with our lives. It's about time, guys, we get serious about the Lord. He was serious enough to die for us. That's a mic drop right there. Don't you think about that? Does the way that I live my life reflect that Jesus is my Lord? Or does it look like, you know what, he's just crazy. I know some of you think that. Some of you right now think, you know what, I don't want to live for Jesus. I'm not into that stuff. If you knew the Good Shepherd, you'd be into that stuff. Because what we've fogged it up with, what we've confused it with is a bunch of, you just be a good little boy and a good little girl. You go to church whenever the doors are open and you're going to be fine. That is not true. There are people in here that have been in the church even 6 months, whatever, 9 months before they were born. There you go, I got it right, right? And they don't know the Lord. Because we've based it off of doing things or not doing bad things. That's just behavioral modification. What you need is a heart transformation. That's what I need. That's what we need. We need a shepherd. because we're all like sheep going astray. We're all the ones that going off, we're dying, we're dropping off the cliff of life because we really don't know what life is about. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, life to the fullest. Life that will give you meaning. Life that will give you significance. Life that will give you peace. Don't y'all want peace? My goodness. There is so much turmoil in this world, y'all. Don't y'all see it? And if you are a sheep, then you have the answer. Because the way that you live your life, if you are a sheep, a follower of Christ, will point to the shepherd. Because you'll be following his voice. Do you see how that happens? Remember, you're a sheep, not the shepherd. Follow Christ. And if you're sitting here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ, my prayer, I beg you, right now you wonder, but there's one that came looking for you. And he gave his life for you to die on a cross, a death that you deserve, a penalty that you deserve to pay. He wants to give you life. True life. Not just surviving, but he wants you to thrive. And I want you to think about that. I'm going to turn to Psalm chapter 23. Because David writes this psalm, and he's a sheep. And this is what he says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does your life echo that? Come to a time of decision. That God, you'll guide us, speak to our heart as you've already been doing, and that we will act on what you've called us to do. If you'll stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking around, I want you to think about what we've talked about this morning. Is Jesus your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Is he guiding, or are you just wandering this life? You may like that wandering for a time, but it comes back. If you've got business to deal with the Lord, you need to give your life to the Lord, you can come on down here. You don't have to. You do it right there where you're sitting at. That's how great God is. But David and myself, we're down here and we can talk to you if you need to. If you've got questions, we're here for you. If you've got something against a brother or a sister and you need to deal with it, go take care of that. Jesus wants his sheep to get along for his glory. If you want to pray for somebody that's lost, that doesn't know you, that lost sheep that you know is in your family, one of your friends, one of your classmates, one of your coworkers, you pray for them. appreciate you seeing your faces. Even you, Donnie. It's good stuff, man. Love you, brother. David, continue recovery, right? Yeah. You still want to go back there? Okay, all right. So do you mind close us in prayer? And remember to come out tonight. We're going to have a good time. Finger food and prayer.